said, wake up, puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Hey podcasters, Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here.
Hey, on today's catch-up, Premier Mark McGowan with the latest COVID news.
Lockie's lockdown quiz, number two instalment.
We spoke to Hale Headmaster Dean DeLauro about the school changes coming up.
And exclusive audio of the Queen's birthday Zoom catch-up.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
Troubled waters here in Western Australia and across the planet. Captain of the good ship WA is our Premier, Mark McGowan. Premier, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Mark, we want to start by saying a huge thank you. You are doing a stellar job, and all WA have ever asked for is leadership, and you're just doing such an excellent job under very challenging circumstances. How are you travelling?
I'm fine, thank you, Kimber, but I appreciate so much kind words. I've never had so many kind words in my entire life. It's very nice of people to say things like that. But, you know, as I always say, there's lots more people doing lots of things and lots of people out there working hard over this period, but also all those people have lost their jobs or lost their businesses or had to close down. I feel so much more for them because I'm the lucky one.
Well, yes, and absolutely. But to you and to Roger, it's been great leadership, very clear, and we all appreciate it. And, of course, Premier, there have been other non-COVID-related things that have been going on. I saw that the old tunnel broke through last night.
Well, that's right. The tunnel to the airport, Rail Line, it's all been, you know, it's been the tunnel boring machine, whose name is Sandy, has been totally unaware of COVID.
Yes.
She's been down there. She's been down there burrowing away for the last 3 years, and she's just come out. So, so we've now got two tunnels from the airport, or from Forestfield actually, through to Bayswater, and she broke through yesterday.
Yeah, Sandy, I believe, packed up and headed back with the other borer back to Germany, but that was probably a little different for you, Mark, to have a non-coronavirus public appearance yesterday with that press conference.
It was. The amazing thing about all this is I spend so much time in my office doing meetings now. I don't go out and do many functions or events. So getting out of the office was terrific. But this new MetroNet line, it's one of six rail lines or major rail projects we're building this year, and that's going to create thousands of jobs and create more confidence, which is great.
Yeah, great. And lots of people have been waiting on elective surgery. I know elective, to those who aren't in the know, it sounds like we're just going in for tummy tucks and things like that. But these are people who are in real pain and really looking forward to something. But you've got some good news for them coming?
That's right. We'll announce the exact details today, but Tuesday next week, elective surgery will restart. So that's all those things like knee replacements or reconstructive surgery after you might have had breast cancer or a mastectomy or colonoscopies, which I know it is, but endoscopies, all those sorts of things, which are technically elective, but to many people quite essential. So they'll start again next Tuesday, which is terrific. Yep. Next week, we'll have schools come back. We removed the restrictions on liquor stores the other day. So we're trying to do things that are of low risk, but of big public benefit. Although I'm not sure the liquor stores one was. But anyway, apart from that, public benefit for some, Clazzy. We're trying to do those sorts of things that have very low risk.
Finally, I can book in my male enhancement surgery. That's terrific. Premier,
yeah, important stuff.
Of course, you're in a unique position because you're the leader of our great state.
And you can go to the liquor store first and get as much as you like. Ease the pain.
But yeah. You're also a dad and, you know, obviously asking how things are going in the household. I mean, what happens when you're about to go into one of your high-powered meetings with ScoMo and the kids are going, Dad, I'm bored?
Yeah, that does happen. He rang me the other morning, because I get on quite well with him, and he rang me the other morning, a Saturday morning whilst I was having a shave. My daughter answered and had quite a good little chat to him.
That's funny.
Dad, ScoMo's on the phone.
Yeah, he asked if he had a wrong number, and she said, well, who are you after? And he said, I'm after my brother. No, it's the right number. Then she didn't hand the phone over to me, so she kept talking for a little while.
Yeah. But anyway, that's great.
That's one of the humorous things about my 10-year-old. but no, the kids have been great. And, you know, they follow, my oldest boy in particular, Samuel, he follows the news very closely. So, and then my second son, his name's Alexander, he's 14. The other night I got home and I was copying a terrible time on social media and I walked in the house. He likes saying this. He said, "Dad, you're getting roasted."
Roasted?
Yeah, roasted.
It's a roasting.
He loves saying that to me. So since then, every time I get home, he says, "You're getting roasted on social media, Dad." So, yeah, no, they're very supportive.
Yeah, well, there's
I love
nothing.
That your kids are your political advisors.
Yeah. And they talk to the Prime Minister. Mate, a lot of that roasting may have been about back to school. None of this is easy for sorting term two, is it?
No, term two is not easy. But we took, you know, we got the advice of all of the public health professionals of Australia that said it was safe for children to go back and you can put in place measures for the staff that are, protect their health. Just want you to understand one thing. Of the 68,000 people working in education across Western Australia, we so far have one case. Mm. So it's one out of 68,000. And amongst the children, there's a handful out of 500,000 kids. So, look, I know it's something which people feel like they're nervous. But the truth is that we've taken the best of public advice, health advice. We need our schools to go back in a safe environment, and that's what we're doing, and we're giving parents a choice as to whether or not to send their kids.
It's wonderful you've given people a choice, and I must say, Mark, I was really happy to read an article during the week of after New Zealand, obviously when they had the earthquake in Christchurch, and lots of kids didn't go to school for months, and now those children have returned, I mean, apart from COVID, but now all of they're all excelling and everything's going well, so their education hasn't suffered through this time, and I think that might be really reassuring for parents that kids are resilient and they do work hard and they'll bounce back.
That's right. As long as... yeah, as long as they've got the right confidence and the right attitude, they'll come back. And so, you know, they'll have the opportunity to be back in the classrooms as of Wednesday next week.
And Premier, you said it yourself, one of our greatest defences through this crisis has been our isolation. And of course, we're locked down now and we're seeing what looks like, let's not get too overconfident, some great numbers in terms of cases. And you're now in the difficult position of trying to work out when to open things up again. So are you thinking about any kind of timeline?
Well, we're doing elective surgery next week and schools going back next week. We'll announce some further things, but as I said, there'll be low risk and hopefully good social or economic benefit. We're not going to do things at a high risk until we get the advice or the medical advice that it's the right time to do it. So there will be some changes next week that will be beneficial to the community, but I think this is, to be frank, I think it's a long-term proposition managing this issue, and certainly the interstate border, the border with the east, that'll be in place for months and months, probably 6 months at least. Our numbers recently have been terrific. So yesterday we had one new case, the day before we had zero, the day before I think it was two. Yeah. So we're bumping along at that level, and they're generally people who have come back from a, you know, somehow come back from a Bali holiday now or from a cruise ship in the Mediterranean or something like that. So Western Australia and Australia have been doing the best of anywhere in the world. We want to keep that up, but do things that allow for a little bit of normality but low risk.
Yeah, they're very low percentages compared to the rest of the planet. Hey, Mike, before you go, we've been bombarded by our footy fans who listen to footy here at Mix 94.5 and they just want to know, AFL want to come back. They're talking about doing footy hubs, but it won't happen unless the state governments give it the tick. What are your thoughts at this point?
Well, it's a wonderful idea as long as they comply with the rules. So when you come into Western Australia from the east, so let's imagine a bunch of teams came here, they've got to self-isolate for 14 days to make sure they don't have the illness before such time as they could engage in the footy. The footy, if a bunch of teams based here over a long period of time and played the games and did the right thing by self-isolating, well, I think that would be quite a good morale booster for the state.
Hey, Mark, all the best, mate. Keep up the great work and make sure you're getting plenty of rest as well.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Crazy Matt and Kimbo
in the morning on Mix 94.5.
In the history of sport, if you've ever seen a Wildcats game over their long career, this guy is the bloke who would probably, he could motivate anybody. He could motivate a dead man, I reckon. He should have been an AFL coach. The one and only dead set legend himself, Lachie Reid. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, team. I have utmost faith in you today. I think you're going to redeem yourselves from yesterday in the lockdown quiz.
Okay. Now, Lockie, you did mention that after we only got one out of three, each of us only got one out of three yesterday, that you were going to try and make it easier. But, you know, you've really just got to, you commit to what you want to do. We won't learn anything if you keep dumbing it down for us.
Okay, no worries. Well, look, this one's, I think you could go okay in this one. There's a little bit of music in this one, some general knowledge, and I think one that might suit Maddie, to be honest, more than the other two. Okay. So here we go.
God, I'm ready with a Red Emperor answer as well this time, bud.
Sorry, too late. Was it a fish? Oh, it was a butterfly, wasn't it? All right, should we do it?
Yes.
Oh, and we have a winner! Lockie's Lockdown Quiz.
All righty, roll call first of all to get the class underway. Clazzy. Kimber.
Present.
And Maddie.
You betcha.
Oh, okay, here we go. Question number one. It's a true or false question, question number one. True or false, emus can walk backwards. Is that true or is that false? Emus can walk backwards. That is question number one.
Oh, dear.
Bit of a harsh one to start us underway. 50-50.
Is that before or after they've had a can of export?
They can do anything after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Write your answers down at home. You're playing along too.
Yeah, old school.
Absolutely.
Pen and paper,
so
love
true
it.
True or false. Okay. Exactly. We'd like to know what the scores are at the end of the week from some of the listeners as well.
Yeah, just not ours.
That is question number one. True or false? Emus can walk backwards. Question number two. Now, my good buddy Chris Murphy, the musician, likes to be involved in the lockdown quiz. Mm. Yesterday, very disappointed we didn't involve him. So let's head to the studios of Murph.
All right, my turn. Thanks a lot, Lockie. Here we go. Name this riff.
Jeez,
all righty. So name that riff. You'd know that one, Claire.
Yeah, geez, I love Coldplay.
It's Guns N' Roses, mate. Get it right. Okay, so that was question number two. Name that riff. I only need the name of the song. Don't need the band, but if you want a little bonus point just to be a smarty pants, you can throw
down
the
name. Can I give you the band and not the name of the song?
No, I want the song, Kimber. Play by the rules, please. All right, and question number three usually is a Who am I? But I'm going to change it now to what am I? Because I couldn't get dressed as this thing. Okay. What am I? In Victoria, I am known as a cantaloupe. What am I called here in WA? In Victoria, ooh, I'm known as a cantaloupe. What am I called here in WA?
Okay.
All right. Let's head back to the answers now. Question number one of the lockdown quiz. Lock yourself in for the wild ride. True or false? Emus can walk backwards. Kimbus, can they walk backwards?
I went with false. They cannot walk backwards.
Maddie?
I went with true.
Oh, dear. It is false.
Hey!
False. Kangaroos can't walk backwards either, and ostriches can walk backwards. So there you go. A little bit of info for you. Question number two, the name of the riff with Chris Murphy was, Clazzy?
Walk of Life, Dire Straits.
Correct.
Damn it.
Well done.
I wrote Dire Straits and I could only get past the first line in my head.
Maddie, did you get that one?
Yeah, I got that one, bud.
Okay, all right. The enthusiasm just picked up a little bit from everyone. That's good to see. And question number three, what am I as opposed to who am I? In Victoria, I'm known as a cantaloupe. What am I called here in WA? Maddie, you are guaranteed to get this one because I think you lived over there for a while.
I did. That's why I'm embarrassed. But I think it's rock melon.
Rock melodies, correct.
Hey, yeah, I got that too.
Go. So two for everyone?
Yeah, I got two.
Yes.
Yeah, two. Yep.
See, that is a little message to the kids out there. Just you can rebound after a poor performance. If you put in the effort overnight, you can get back on track. Maddie, I know you studied hard last night. A little message to the kids, just be Maddie. Study hard and get yourself ready for the next day.
Oh, absolutely, buddy. I mean, after yesterday's performance, I went and had a good long, hard look at myself and realised I could do better.
Take it a game at a time. Mate, Lockie, you sound like Ross Lyon there, mate. Is Kimber the cobbler?
Cobbler. And we'll do it. We'll do this all tomorrow. Yeah. I know you're loving it. Oh,
we are. Thanks, Lockie. Right. Never give up.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. Good on you, mate.
See you guys. Bye. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning
on Mix 94.5. There's been so much in this COVID-19 era, which is what we're already calling it, it seems bizarre, discussion and debate about the return to our students and teachers, of course, and TAs and EAs heading back to school for term two. We thought we'd get a principal, a headmaster from Hale School, Dean DeLauro, on the line once again to get his point of view. Dean, firstly, welcome, mate. How are you travelling?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. Yeah, great to see you guys and hear from you again.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you again, Dean. Now, we've been very lucky to see low numbers of COVID in Perth, but many teachers personally feel that they shouldn't be returning to school this term, but don't really have a choice. How are your teachers feeling at the moment?
Oh, look, it's a bit hard for me to say that with absolute accuracy because obviously they're on holidays at the moment. We've obviously been sending out some information. But, you know, as a litmus test, we rang a number of teachers yesterday on Monday about students returning in the junior school, and they were very positive about that. But, of course, there's no doubt that some of our teachers, like in the state system, the Catholic system, they would be anxious for all the reasons you know. There's no doubt about that.
And, Dean, so what are your expectations on this first day of the second term? What are you expecting to happen at your school?
Yes, so look, we just announced yesterday that we're going to have year 11s and 12s back. As the Premier said, we're encouraging 11s and 12s to return. We think they will. And all our younger students, pre-primary to year 2, are going to come back on the first day and ongoing. And then after that, we're going to rotate different year groups through the school with the whole idea of in this intermediate, I guess, position, we just want a few less students on campus just so we've got a bit more physical distancing.
Hey, Dean, there's a cartoon that's becoming famous recently doing the rounds on social media of kids in the classroom right next to a teacher and they're looking through the window and their nana, their granny's outside. They're saying, can we come and visit you soon? None of this is easy, is it, mate, to try and work out? There's no exact science to it.
There's not. And, thanks for using the word science. I mean, at the end of the day, there's not. And therefore, we all cast our own views and opinions, don't we? But, I'm really encouraged by the fact that our Premier has closed borders and we continue to have single-digit increases. Therefore, we should have great confidence in the science because it's telling us that we're doing a good job. And while it could change and we must be ready to rebound and change things if need to be, I think the science is pretty clear that we should get students back because what's the alternative? The mental health issues are pretty clear. Recent studies have suggested there's a lot of things that are going to happen in our society if we don't continue to connect socially. Mm. So, the science is important here.
Well, it might have been a great way to get rid of NAPLAN, but kids will be very keen to see their friends again. Are there still going to be restrictions in the school for them?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, the social responsibility that all schools have is to make sure that we put in place all the guidelines the government's suggesting. And I think there's some excellent guidelines there around how you spread the students, not necessarily opening up your canteens, having it takeaway or keeping them closed, asking students to bring food. Those are all really important things that we'll continue to adhere to.
And Dean, of course, there will be parents who are still not ready to send their kids back to school yet, and that seems to, we're leaving that option open for people at the moment. As a top educator from a top school, can you give any advice to parents who are attempting to be educators at the moment?
smile. No, in all seriousness, I think a really important thing, particularly for the younger students, is just don't expect it all to have to happen at home. I mean, if it doesn't all get done, if it is that you're pressing your young boy or girl to actually get through their maths homework and bits and pieces without the support, just lower the expectations slightly because let's hope in WA it's going to be a short-term thing and we'll get students back to school in full and they'll catch up because students are pretty resilient. They bounce back really well.
Yeah, and Dean, it's been a tough time, of course, for leaders of all kinds, from the PM down to the Premier and those making big decisions. We caught up with Mark McGowan an hour or so ago, but what about yourself leading at Hale? Have you been able to get some sleep and not get it out of your mind, but get some rest?
I like to try and fish. Everyone knows at Hale that I'm a terrible fisherman, and it's been great that the government's allowed us still to do some fishing in that way. So I've certainly thrown in a line with no success, which helps me mentally. So I'm going okay. Thanks for asking.
Oh, good. And Dean, this doesn't necessarily speak for your school. I was a high school teacher, and I know how hard it can be. And perhaps after all of this, parents may actually start to support the teachers and be a bit more understanding. There's always the odd tricky parent out there that demands a bit much or is a little bit, doesn't think that their little Johnny's doing anything wrong. And so maybe they'll start to see that being a teacher ain't easy.
Yeah, surely not. There's certainly no parents like that out there, surely. Come on.
Sounds like she hasn't gone over it. She got the grudge there.
Oh, look, you know, at the end of the day, it's tricky, isn't it? Everyone, because, I mean, you can imagine parents at home, they're trying to work from home. They've got two or three children, yeah, perhaps, all at different ages. My goodness, I don't know. I couldn't do that. And I've been in the education game for a fair while. So it is a challenge. But look, you know, I think we're all learning a little bit more about the tricky part of life, because some of our staff, of course, are actually teaching from home with their children as well. So, yeah, parents, teachers, I think we've all had a bit of a wake up, haven't we, that there's other ways we can go about things. But it's great to see how everyone is pulling together, though, isn't it? It really is. We've done well as WA and Australians. There's no doubt about that.
Well, Dean, and no doubt, of course, it's going to go down one of the great years of history and one of the great years of learning later on, 2020, in the years to come. But we'll worry about what's in front of us right now. All the best and good to talk to you.
Great. Thanks, Clazy, Matt and Kimber. All the best to you. Clazy, Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Yesterday, April the 21st, Her Majesty the Queen turned 94. Can you believe it? 94 years old. She was born in 1926. Now, I'm not a monarchist. Quite frankly, when we didn't become a republic, I was quite depressed. But I do have a respect for her. I don't know why. Maybe it's because she's on the money. But 94 years old, 1926. I looked it up. Apparently, in 1926, that was before the internet.
It was too.
Apparently. Wow. Yeah. I mean, do you reckon she's had a good... I mean, it's been an all right life, hasn't it? It's been a pretty good life, like health-wise and, she's looked after.
They do get the best of care, obviously. I'm sure they get checked by a doctor every day, especially at 94, she and the Duke.
Absolutely. Mm. Apparently, she's the only person alive to have actually seen the Dockers win a derby, which is incredible.
Good one.
But she's turned 94, and of course, we love the Queen's birthday because we usually get a public holiday or somewhere in the year.
Yeah.
But this year, it was done without any of the pomp and ceremony. Usually, they have all the carriages and the horses and the cannons going off. But of course, this is a different time. This is COVID era.
Yeah.
And it was all had to be done in isolation. But of course, you're still going to have a birthday party for Her Majesty the Queen.
Your Majesty, the rest of the royal family are gathered on Zoom for your birthday party.
My first Zoom! How delightful! Thank you, Jarvis. Oh, Jarvis, is that awful American actress among the guests?
Yes, ma'am. Harry and Meghan are both gathered in a Zoom room.
Oh, well. Okay. Zoom. Jarvis, do I need to type World Wide Web in somewhere?
No, madam. Just bring out the Zoom application, or as the young people say, ma'am, app.
Oh, you know I detest an abbreviation, Jarvis. Zoom application. Zoom application appear. I am the Queen of England, and I demand that you show yourself, Zoom application.
Pardon me, Your Majesty. Just allow me to double-click. I have set it up for you. There we are. Just create a password.
Oh, how exciting. What about Queen Bee 1926? What do you mean that password has already been used?
I'm sorry, ma'am, but someone else must have taken that password already, Your Majesty.
What? Whom? Call MI5 and find out who. I bet it's that Markle woman.
Perhaps try something else, ma'am?
Yeah, all right. What about Dizzy Lizzy 26? Blast, taken. I Own England 26. What?
Yes, ma'am. I believe one of the Beckhams has that one.
Well, you can cross their names off the next guest list for the Royal Variety Performance.
As you wish, ma'am. But if I might suggest, my head's on the money 1926.
Oh, very good, Jarvis. It's worked. Well, Jarvis, what's this?
Do you want notifications? Just click no, ma'am.
I will not. I'm the Queen of England. I want to be notified about everything, Jarvis. Allow access to my camera. Jarvis, go and get my camera. It's in the royal garage.
No, ma'am. The camera is in there.
I didn't come down in the last shower, Jarvis. It's a computer, not a camera, you sausage.
Ma'am, that is your camera there.
is it? Well, where does the photo come out, Smarty Pants?
There are no photos as such, Mom.
Excuse me, Jarvis. I've taken more Polaroids than you've had hot dinners. I think I know how to use a camera.
If you allow me, I'll just click yes, and there you are.
Oh, is that me? How wonderful! That's me! Look at that! Now, where is everyone?
It seems they got all tired of waiting, Mom.
Did they? Is that right? Well, you get them back, Jarvis, or you'll be waiting. You hear me? You'll be waiting on tables at the local burger restaurant.
As you wish, Mom. As you wish.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning. On Mix 94.5.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Now, one of the phrases we're hearing a lot in our house, and I'm sure it's reflected across Perth, is children running downstairs going, "Can I download this, please?" Because, you know, there are so many free games out there that have lots of these, you know, in-game purchasing going on. And I remember Boogie, my mate Boogie, telling me that one time he picked up his credit card statement and there was like $4,000 that he didn't know where it was from.
Ooh.
Turns out the kids had knew his credit card number and been purchasing all these golden coins for some game.
Well, there's his problem right there.
Yeah, well, it turns out you're always a parent because Jackie Dixon, she's from Cheshire in England, and she found that an order had been made on her eBay account that she hadn't made herself for a purple rampant rabbit.
Bright eyes, burning like fire.
It was burning like fire.
Sounds
Kimber,
like
it. Would you explain to the good people what a rampant rabbit is, please?
I'd love to, Matt. It's a very popular vibrator for women because the stimulator on it looks like rabbit ears. That's where it gets its name. And very popular. It does everything at once. It's basically like the Thermomix of the vibrator world.
Oh, nice analogy.
Wow, I wasn't expecting such a detail. Thank you so much.
And top shelf. Sorry,
you're second, very welcome.
Second draw answer, Kimber. Well done.
And the show's just gone to an MA15 rating.
Can't download this.
So Jackie's got this purple rampant rabbit that arrives at her place.
Yeah.
It wasn't hers. And she realises that it was her daughter, 22-year-old Jessica,
right,
who's thought she was, buying it on a guest account and has gone and bought herself a purple rampant rabbit on her mum's account.
What a great conversation to have with mum. Did mum bring it up really well?
She did, because the first thing she said to her was, "Darling, are you lonely, love?" And then advised her to get her own account. But hey, mama said.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning. On Mix 94.5.
None of us are doing much driving, let's be honest. But if you are, if you're doing a bit of driving around at the moment, and a lot of people doing deliveries and still, you know, truckies are out there still trying to get things around the supermarkets and the like, then the petrol prices are very, very low right now. And the world oil prices, well, the bottom's fallen out of it, guys.
Yeah, we're not doing a lot of driving at all. Yesterday I tried to get in my car to go to a medical appointment and my car wouldn't start. Obviously haven't turned it over in a while, so I have to get onto that. But petrol is cheap. It makes me want to drive.
Oh, totally. I got in my car to take the dog for a walk and I'm thinking, I know the prices are so cheap. I want to fill up, but I look at the gauge and it's not going down.
Yeah, it's weird,
isn't
it? I
can't justify it.
I saw a sign at the Woolies as I drove down towards the beach yesterday. I thought I'd take the beach run home. And in Florida, it was 79.9 cents. And I went, what is it? Is it 1999 or something? What's going on?
Well, it is. 1999 was the last time we had prices like this. Petrol yesterday, as you said, Claire, around that, I think the lowest was about 77.7. And it was 1999. And back in 99, I hadn't had my license for very long. And the cheapest place for fuel was in Frio. And me and my girlfriends would get in the car in Leeming and we'd all take turns every week driving down so that we could get cheap fuel and then do bog laps down Cappuccino Strip. Because, that was like, and you really wanted to drive because it was like cheap for the penny-pinching teenagers, you know.
Yeah.
You were excited to get the opportunity to do it.
Well, of course, it was a strange time because the number one single was bloody Mambo Number 5. And we never want to relive those times again.
Sorry, mate, I'm going to make you relive it.
There you go.
Stop.
A little bit of Monica.
You guys would have had really cool music when you were teenagers. That's what me and my friends were playing in the car.
Yeah, that's a worry, isn't it? While you're doing your bog laps down the
Cappuccino Strip. We didn't have any choice.
Sad, isn't it? 1999, the Eagles were sort of struggling there. They had Guy McKenna and Mick Malthouse at their helm, but Scotty Cummings kicked 95 goals that year. But it was the year that the Dockers finally won a derby, which was pretty rare. I think the Eagles had won the first nine or something. And Chris Bond was the captain of the Fremantle Dockers back then.
Chris Bond. Shaken, you know, not stirred. Chris Bond.
You talk 1999, you think, I still think that was 20 years ago. I guess I always forget 21. There was a whole decade in between. I sort of forget between the 2000 and 2010. I don't know what happened in that time, but 99 doesn't seem that long ago.
1999. I mean, think of, on TV, Blair Witch Project.
The search of the three missing Montgomery College students continues in Frederick County tonight.
10 days and thousands of man hours have been unable to produce any clues.
We have a few leads, a few other options. So we want to take advantage of.
And that one was huge at the movies, and it was so convincing in the marketing they did for Blair Witch Project that people thought it was a real story.
Oh, yeah. It scared the bejesus out of me, that film.
That was the best marketing campaign. I absolutely thought it was real at that time, and it was a great film.
If you watch the film, nothing really happened. It didn't have to. It was all scary. It was all that sort of premeditated scariness. Yeah.
But that's when they made films for $20,000 too. That's all it cost to make that one.
Yeah, shaky handheld.
Basically just a close-up of her dripping nose for most of the film.
Pretty much. You know. And sounding so scared, doing scary voices. On telly. Hey, it's Saturday.
Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, Brisbane, Darwin, Papua New Guinea, Perth, Adelaide, Hobart and Oblivion. Welcome to our final 3 hours of Madcap Mayhem with Dags, the Duck, the Nick and all the gang on the last ever. Hey, it's Saturday.
Oh, Johnny Blackman, what a superstar. And that show was so big, people used to have Hey, it's Saturday parties.
Yeah, it was the thing you did before you went out, right, on a Saturday. That's what you watched. It was on in the background.
Oh, they're great memories. I love that. Yeah. Let's go back to 99.
Well, partying like it's 1999 this morning because petrol prices at 1999 prices.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning
on Mix 94.5.
Yeah, now we're all working from home and the three of us can see each other on Skype. But you guys, although you can see me, let's be honest, I'm not making much of an effort. Like, in the 4 hours that we are on air together, that's the only time I'm wearing a bra. I haven't put jeans on for about 5 weeks, and basically my hair's just, like, tied up every day. There's not a lot going on.
Nice T-shirt.
So no difference then.
We like your Beatles T-shirt, though, Kimber.
Look, it's not that I am getting dressed every day. I am making sure I get up and get dressed, but it's not that I've given up, but I guess I'm starting to realise what's important and maybe we don't need the eyelashes and the fake tans and the high fashions. And I've always been more of a jeans.
That's what we were thinking.
Yeah. I've always been like a T-shirt and jeans kind of gal anyway. But I did make somewhat of an effort. And then on the other hand, I'm thinking, well, the opportunity to dress up can make you feel better and can make you, you know, give you a bit of pep in your step. And it's that old adage of, you know, use the good crystal, use the good crockery. Don't save it all for a rainy day or you'll never get to use it. And so I'm wondering, because if you think back like post-war, after the war, it became fancy with the fashions. Like, everyone wore their best hats and gloves. Like, just for a daily excursion, you'll still see the old boys out at the shops in their full suit.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, you had the Roaring Twenties as well after that, the First World War.
Yeah. And I'm wondering whether post-COVID, when we all come out of this, are we going to dress up or are we going to dress down?
Right. Well, look, I mean, I can only speak for myself, and you know, I don't spend a lot of time dressing. For example, the tracksuit pants that I'm wearing at the moment are so loose and full of holes that I have to be very careful when I stand up so that you don't see me in all my glory.
See even more.
And yet, I would happily wear this to Epicurean for dinner.
Right. Post-COVID.
Yeah.
By the way, mate, you did get up and go and turn the telly on earlier. I did see the boys, but anyway.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Some things you can't unsee. Laurie said to me the other day, that jumper you're wearing, I think you had that when we met. And we met in 2010. I said, yeah, this jumper, this windsheater with all the holes and the bits falling apart was 2008. I've bought it, I reckon. And it goes away. It just comes out every winter. But I reckon I'll still be wearing that post-COVID.
Yeah, like, I get it. I mean, comfort reigns supreme, and I understand. And I wasn't sure, and because I'm sort of on the fence. Part of me wants to make more effort. Part of me thinks, eh. And I chucked it up on Twitter, and I did a bit of a poll, and it was split down the middle. Yeah. Some people were saying, I absolutely cannot wait to dress up and do more when I get out because I feel like it makes me feel good and it's going to be the best way to go, and I don't want to waste all these wonderful things I've purchased.
Yep.
And other people were like, yeah, I'm with you. Let's stay with the comfort. So I want to throw it out to the people of Perth. What's your plan post-lockdown? Are you going to dress up or dress down?
I'm looking at Instagram right now. There's a lot of people dressed up and a lot of people with very little on. I bet that's Instagram.
Yeah, that's just normal.
Kari, in Piara Waters, what do you think? After COVID, are you going to dress up or dress down?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm hearing what you're saying, but I work on a mine site for 2 weeks and I come home for 1 week and... You know, you sort of want to dress up even just to go and get some toilet rolls or whatever it
is. Go to the shop?
Of course you do.
And you sort of, you know, you live away in this big bubble and you, I don't know, you just need to, I don't know, you've got all these clothes, you have this money and you buy clothes and you,
I didn't consider that, Kari, that FIFO workers would have been going through this the whole time. This is exactly what it would be like, that moment where you do get a chance to make an effort so you want to.
It's like, what are people complaining about? Like, I dress like this every day, like shit. Like, do you know what I mean?
Thanks, Kari.
I feel you, Kari. I feel you.
Yeah, that summed it up, really, didn't it? What are Kari's going to do post-COVID?
That's Jules in Safety Bay.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm still breathing, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, that is a bonus to wake up. How about post-COVID, what are you going to do, dress up or dress it down?
Do you know what? I think I might actually dress it up. I had a Zoom visit with all of my girls yesterday, and I even contemplated putting makeup on for the visit.
Oh. Okay, so is that not your normal go-to, Jules? Did you used to be pretty fancy pre-COVID, or are you thinking now you're ready for a change?
Yeah, no, hardly ever sort of did myself up, but I think I'm going to look nice and grey and pretty. I'm going to rock this grey that's happening.
Yeah, good on you. There's plenty of that going on. Grey hair is the new black, don't worry.
Yeah, celebrate the grey roots.
I know. I made sure that my head wasn't seen yesterday on the Zoom visit.
Did you put a mask on?
Nah. Oh, Jules, well, get out your best frock, and when we can all step out in the street, I'll be walking the dog in a ball gown.
Yeah, absolutely. Throw those stilettos on.
Good on you, Jules. Are you good to hear you? Jules. Good to hear you laughing. You take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too, guys. Enjoy.
Oh, that's good. Jules of Safety Bay.
I mean, it will be a very interesting time because we're sort of, you know, equating it to kind of the post-war elation that we're all going to feel when we can step outside. But not only are we in a, you know, I think about that famous kiss in Times Square where the sailor grabbed a dental assistant that he didn't know and kissed, a famous photograph. But it with the sort of sexual politics that we have now and social distancing, they're going to be very different photographs.
I would imagine so. Yeah, she might bump shoulders with him.